The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
The second half of the program is alive, and what a day it has been. What a week. And we haven't even come close to the season yet, and it feels like we're in the middle of it. Barry Trammell, a good friend of ours for many, many years, covers the Sooners, among others, as the lead sports columnist out in Oklahoma City. We've had a lot of Texas A&M reaction and some from Austin. We have not heard what the Sooners are thinking. Barry, thank you very much for joining us. Tell us about your week.
Well, Paul, here's what I think happened with me is I think I have learned that I am going to go from a Paul Feinbaum show outsider to a Paul Feinbaum insider in the coming. You know, you call me, see what's going on in the heck outside the SEC. It looks like to me it's a done deal. It looks like to me the Sooners are headed to the SEC, and it's been wild. You know, I didn't see it coming. That's my fault. You know, there were some tea leaves looking back that were clearly readable if someone was paying attention. But things going so well for Oklahoma in every regard, financially and competitively, that, you know, you think, well, why would they risk, you know, upsetting that by doing anything? But clearly the financial instability of college athletics, COVID, the looming end of the television contracts, the NIL, the Supreme Court case, all those things. And then you add in the 12-team playoff proposal, which sort of was the final hurdle, I think, made it pretty clear that Oklahoma just financially said, we got to do this. So I think that's where we are, and it looks like it's going at breakneck speed to fruition.
Barry, how, based on the people with whom you speak, how and why do you think, I mean, you alluded a little bit of it, but how do you think this came about and when?
Well, I think sometime in the last 3 years, 18 on, we got past the halfway mark of the playoff contract, past the halfway mark of the conference television contracts. I think OU officials started looking long term at the financial picture. You know, the changing nature of the television rights. You know, everybody's cutting the cord. The spigot that's been on for so long with television, is it going to continue? We don't really know. We do know with the SEC, last year when they announced their new contract with ESPN, but was that going to be the same, the accelerating rights fees? Was that going to happen with the Big 12? It's unknown. And I think in the last, really, so I think they were sort of looking around at the landscape saying, what are we going to do? You know, the OU's a rich athletic program. They got tons of money. But everybody knows the rich likes their money, and they want more money. And they spend their money, and then they get more money. So they were looking ways to supplement their income. And Oklahoma, Texas, and the SEC, with the added on to this new SEC contract, would be a bonanza like we've probably never seen in college sports before. And all these events in the last, 8 weeks now, the summer of 2021, it's going to be a monumental moment in college sports. So I think that's really what turned this into high-speed stuff, just the idea of financial security going forward.
Barry, you've covered OU for many, many years. You're a staple in that community on all platforms, especially in the newspaper business and all that follows there. What have you heard and from OU fans and how do you think this fit will work?
Well, I think fans are generally ecstatic. You know, I think I told you a couple 3 years ago when this wasn't even talked about, a pipe is sort of a pipe dream. You know, I told you I thought OU fans would vote you know, immediately if given the option to go to the SEC. It's sort of a romanticized notion. You know, maybe they'll like it if they go to Gainesville, get beat 31-20, but, you know, maybe not. But I think there's no reason why it can't work. I mean, OU's a fabulous athletic program, win a lot of national championships. They got a big-time football program. They're well-funded. They got great tradition, great fan base. I mean, they're just like all the SEC powers. They just happen to not be in the SEC. So culturally, it's not different. It's not very different. Oklahoma and Alabama or Oklahoma and Tennessee, that's not that difference of places. So it should work fine. There's no reason why it wouldn't. You know, I think OU just won't win quite as much as they're used to. If they do, for crying out loud, you know, it'd be fantastic. But they probably won't. But you'll just have to get used to that. That's just sort of the way it goes. I can't think of a negative other than the loss of longstanding traditions and opponents and friends and those kinds of things. But, you know, life goes on. You sort of get used to it. The idea that everything's going to stay the same, we should have known a long time ago that's not the case. So I think it'll work fine.
Barry, we know how big that game is every year, whatever you guys call it now in Dallas, the Red River Shootout. I mean, I don't know, and I really don't care. But let me ask you this:
Paul. You got to start caring.
Well,
you're your brothers now. You got to care about this stuff.
Well, Barry,
you're gonna have to change your mindset.
I'm gonna have
to change my mindset. You're gonna have to change your mindset. You gotta care.
Someone asked me today, you know, what are your thoughts about OU and Texas? I said I like it for a lot of reasons, but the most important, they both have really good airports.
Well, we got a very easy airport. I can say that. Yeah, we got one of the easier airports in America, so that's fantastic. But they changed it from the Red River Shootout to the Red River Rivalry. I think somebody got shot in downtown Dallas in the 90s.
Is that what happened? Okay.
And then somebody said, let's not call it the Shootout anymore. So
okay.
So it's the Red River Rivalry.
Okay. A friend of mine texted me the other day, the other couple of minutes ago, and said, "Man, can you imagine? If T-Boone Pickens were still alive, he was the benefactor of Oklahoma State. I mean, he was complaining years ago about A&M, which brings me to Oklahoma State. You cover them a lot as well. What's been the reaction from Stillwater?
Well, it's alarm. It's alarm for everybody in the Big Eight. Financially, it's serious because their television contract, when this one's up, is going to be severely diminished. If there is one, if the conference stays together, I don't know if it will or not, but it's going to take a huge, huge beating, and their budget's going to be in serious jeopardy. They're going to have to go into serious discussions about how to supplement that income. Is a Pac-16 possible? I think yes. Is it probable? I think no. You know, the Pac has a pretty highbrow academic idea of itself. The idea of adding land-grant institutions, Kansas State, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, a Texas Tech, that doesn't appeal to anybody in Walnut, California. So I think that would be a problematic. Competitively, Oklahoma State should be in pretty good shape no matter what if the finances can go. You know, I think Oklahoma still wants to play Oklahoma State. So, you know, if the Big 12 could somehow survive, Oklahoma State's profile could even go up. If we go to a 12-team playoff, that means OSU's playoff chances have increased without OU in the conference. I mean, OSU for 11, if you go back 11 years, the second best program in the Big 12 going by conference record is Oklahoma State. And it's 5 or 6 game lead on whoever's third. I think it's Baylor or TCU. I can't remember. But anyway, OSU, you know, have a decent chance to win the conference most years. And with this proposal, that would put them in the playoff most years. So if they can find a way to to stabilize financially, it doesn't have to be a bad thing for OSU. But that financial picture, I mean, all of this is happening because of money. And, you know, it's not an infinite amount of cash floating around. I mean, there's going to be all these winners in the SEC contract. That means there's going to be some losers, and the people in the Big 12 are the prime candidates to be the big losers financially.
Barry, we've heard from Nebraska in the past, Missouri, and especially Texas A&M about the difficulty of living in the same mansion with Texas. Oklahoma has survived because they've been so good. But what are the challenges from the past, and do they matter in the present and future, considering who else is going to be their brothers and cousins in the SEC?
I don't think that'll be a factor in the SEC. Texas has had a commanding, some would say oppressive, presence in the Big 12 boardrooms. Some of that was self-inflicted by the other members, you know, in 2006, 2007, somewhere in there, Commissioner Kevin Weiberg tried to push through a Big 12 network. He needed 9 votes. He could only get 8. Texas voted against it. Oklahoma voted against it. Texas A&M voted against it. And Nebraska voted against it. They all thought, you know, we can do more. We can make more going out on our own with the third tier rights and those things. And then within a year or two, here comes Texas announcing the Longhorn Network, and everybody said, uh-oh, what have we done? Well, that's, you know, that was a self-inflicted wound. You can't blame Texas for that. The Longhorns can be insufferable at times, but truthfully, I assume so can Alabama, and so can Ohio State, and so can Notre Dame, and so can Oklahoma, and so can Southern Cal. When you win at the highest levels, you can get some arrogance and sort of put your foot on people. And there's been some of that with Texas. But, you know, the Longhorns don't come into the SEC with a ton of cachet. I mean, this is – in the last 11 years, Texas is the number 6 program in the Big 12 in conference winning percentage.
Oh, my.
They're below TCU, Baylor, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and the Sooners. So this is not – you know, they didn't go out and get, you know, the 72 Trojans. They didn't go get, you know, an Oklahoma Bud Wilkinson power. This is a program that's not been all that competitive in the last 10 years. So if I was Texas, I'd sort of put my head down and try to win football games instead of trying to win votes in the boardroom. I think that's what they will do. They're smart people. They got a great athletic director in Chris Del Conte. This will probably be good for Texas because they'll probably have to learn some diplomacy. They really – and Oklahoma's the same way. OU and Texas have not had to be very diplomatic in the Big 12 because they knew they were the bell cows. They knew they were keeping the conference afloat. And when you know that kind of thing, you can sort of do what you want to.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, Barry, I'm going to come out to Norman, hang out with you for a couple of days, and get the primer on the nuances of OU, and I cannot wait. It's so great to have you on, and you are still our Big 12 insider. You're about to become an SEC insider. We can't wait. Thanks, Barry.
Well, that's fantastic. Thanks, Paul.
Okay. One of my favorite people out in Oklahoma, Barry Trammell, has covered that team and written columns and been on radio, done radio shows for so many years. And when he said it's a done deal, you can take that one to your favorite bank. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. What a busy afternoon it has been. Barry Trammell just telling us from Oklahoma City, he thinks it's a done deal that OU and Texas are coming. This guy is as plugged into Norman as anyone we could talk to. Pete Thamel joining us shortly. He's pretty plugged in. In the final hour, Kirk Bowles, who has covered the University of Texas for decades, will join us. And he has reported overnight that this thing is on a fast track. It's just amazing to think how quickly this story has come down the track. Anyway, more of your phone calls, 855-242-7285. And Jerry, who is in California, and you're on the air. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, Mr. Feinbaum. It's an honor to chat with you.
Thank you.
In California. And I just wanted to give you an additional perspective. I've lived in Norman, Oklahoma for 5 years and followed the Sooners on a daily basis, and I still do. But with the movement of these two teams to the SEC, I think it's just increase the domino effect across the land. We're just talking about the haves versus the have-nots. And I think if you sit back and look, what other teams are now pressured to make a move, and I think it's going to be SC and the Stanford, and I see them knocking on the door to go to the Big Ten. And then with those two teams going to the Big Ten, I think you're going to see then the balance of the Pac-12 maybe getting and marrying up with the balance of the remaining players in the Big 12. That's my take. That's my perspective. And SC and USC.
Yeah, you know,
Stanford,
you Jerry.
A lot of pressure. They're getting.
You're
getting
right.
Poked by the other schools.
The Big Ten is really in a terrible spot. And you know, I've been talking to people all day, and the consensus as of this hour is their two best options. I mean, think about this. The Big Ten, their two best options are Iowa State and Cincinnati. Notre Dame, if it goes anywhere, would likely go to the ACC. I think the Big Ten's challenge is to hold on to what they have, because the ACC has to make a tremendously big move, too. And if they can't get Notre Dame, then do they try to poach the Big Ten and get – I mean, it sounds crazy to get Maryland back, which, you know, really made a terrible decision to go to the Big Ten. I don't know if you can get Penn State out of there, but I think it's unlikely. But I think everyone is in play, regardless of what it costs to get out of these deals.
Yes, and USC, every day I read the L.A. Times, and a star quarterback is being taken, is being committed to either a Big 12 school or a SEC school or a Big 12 or a Big Ten school. And so SC is losing its competitive advantage. It's also in the West Coast Pacific time zone, which is 2 hours away from the rest of the country, and I think that's a big deal. So I see maybe Stanford and SC knocking on the door. Also, I think you're going to see a bifurcation of conferences. You're going to have football conferences and basketball conferences and other conferences for non-revenue sports, so to speak. Why can't Gonzaga be in the same league as as UCLA and Kansas going forward. I'm just looking at it from a global helicopter standpoint, and I think it's just this is good talk, and a lot of thought-provoking issues are on the table right now.
Well, you've raised some fantastic conversations. Thank you very, very much. Glad to hear from you. It was thought about taking the SEC Media Days a couple of years ago to Dallas. I think that's becoming more likely. Hoover, it may not be easy to get back to Hoover after all of these moves. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's check out some more calls, and it has been crazy. Let's talk to Bob in Cincinnati. Hello, Bob. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, let me ask you a question. As far as college sports, and I know that football kind of dictates everything, but from a standpoint of, like, Cincinnati going to what will be left of the Big 12, how much of a part would basketball play? 25% maybe?
Bob, I'm not sure it would play that much. And I just remember watching the way these chess moves are made, and really the only thing that matters in college basketball from a big dollar standpoint is March Madness. But the day-to-day, the regular season games, I mean, Duke, North Carolina, they're Kentucky, Tennessee, Baylor and Kansas and all these schools in the Big 12 have had, big followings and big years. But I just don't think anyone is looking at it and saying, you know what, we have to have this school because they have a good basketball program.
Right. And from a football standpoint, providing that Cincinnati can keep Luke Fickell around, would that be the next team for the Big 12 to go after, if indeed they do stay together?
Yeah, I think Cincinnati and Iowa State are sitting pretty tonight. Because, first of all, let me correct myself. I don't know if the Big 12 is going to make it. So I think Cincinnati and Iowa State are really in play more for the Big 10 than anyone else.
Yeah, I personally, Paul, it's just, maybe it's just the Ohio State prejudice in me or whatever, but I was honestly hoping that that somehow the Big 12 can piece together maybe their conference. And I hear talk that Houston and a SMU would be very difficult to add to the Big 12. Is that correct?
I think Houston and SMU would be the very likely for the Big 12 if there is a Big 12. But just think about this. The Big Ten and the ACC are desperate at the moment. They can't sit there with 14 if the SEC has 16, and they have to choose wisely, and there are not many wise choices out there. So they start picking off schools. If the Big 12 loses Iowa State, right now Iowa State is an attractive program. They don't have anything. I mean Oklahoma State, what's your big game of the year? Oklahoma State, Baylor? Let's take a break. Pete Thamel, he's got it all figured out. He'll join us next. He's been to Birmingham and Charlotte for SEC and ACC Media Days. He's spoken to everyone, and he will be our next guest.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back. Pete Thamel, I mentioned, will join us shortly. He is working on the same story we're all talking about, so we'll talk to Pete when he gets through. Sometimes we do forget these people we have on have other jobs, but we'll talk to him in a couple of minutes. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 as we continue to get a lot of people on the phone here. Vic is up next in Texas. Hello, Vic.
Those choices do have implications.
Vic, you there? Yeah, we'll have to educate all our new viewers from Oklahoma and Texas how the show works, but plenty of time for that. Okay, let me reset because we're about to join with Pete Thamel anyway, the great writer and columnist from Yahoo. At this hour, all signs seem to be pointing toward Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. The story that is 50 hours old, certainly taking on a life of its own. Pete Thamel was in Hoover the first part of the week, and then he went to cover what seemed like a really important story, what Dabo Swinney and everyone else had to say in Charlotte at ACC Media Days. Pete, great to catch up with you again. A lot has happened since we last saw each other. How are you?
Oh, Paul, it's never boring. It's like flashbacks from a decade ago. You don't hear the term grant of rights unless something is really wrong in college sports. That's what I've learned. It's just not something that comes up on a casual football Saturday. So, all the old emotions, the nastiness, the pettiness, the inferiority complexes, egos, all of the ugliest things in college sports leadership come out during realignment, and we've seen them unload in the past 48 hours.
Well, Pete, you did a very deep dive into this, talking to insiders and people that are deeply embedded in the process. So can you give us an overview of what you've learned, where we are, and where you see this thing going?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sure, Paul. So I reported this morning that the expectation is that this will all unwind next week. I learned today that could start as early as Monday. It's a two-step process. It's a many-step process, but the first two steps are most important. The first one is that Texas and Oklahoma have to formally go to the Big 12 to tell them they will be leaving the conference, intend to leave the conference, plan to leave the conference, and then obviously, that would mean a discontinuation of the grant of rights. And then the second one is, because they haven't talked to the SEC formally yet, they have to go knock on the SEC's door to see if they'll be taken, which is very much obviously a formality, most believe at this point. So my understanding, and again, these things can get complicated. Politicians can get in the way. That's probably the biggest variable remaining is if, and this is Texas, things can get a little wacky in the state of Texas, but it's actually been pretty quiet politically, really, the last 48 hours, Paul, all things considered, considering the stakes and the egos involved. And then the SEC would have to vote, and most expect that vote to be 13-1, and they don't expect Texas A&M Chancellor John Sharp to be able to rally votes to quash this. So then the variable becomes, when will this actually happen? And that's still a little bit murky. That's when things will get pretty nasty.
Yeah, I mean, we only have an hour and a half left in the show, so I'll ask you to try to explain that variable. What are the options in terms of the long range plan for them to hang out, or the implosion of the Big 12? Explain where the possibilities for OU and Texas.
So it's unsurprising, just because everybody said the same thing a decade ago, that Oklahoma and Texas would have gotten the notion out that they're ready to plan through the length of their contract, because what nobody wants out is, we're planning to break our contract, right? I mean, there's lawyers involved, and there will be lawyers involved, and the lawyers, as always, will win. So, of course, publicly, we're ready to ride it through is what they're going to say. the reality is, you remember some of these last seasons that some of these teams have endured. I mean, shoot, I remember even Boston College players getting money waved at them at the Carrier Dome, like when I was in college, when BC left for the ACC. I think it'll be a little nastier down there in Big 12 country when Texas and Oklahoma are rolling through. I don't think there's any chance that it ends up being 4 years. Certainly, they obviously have to play this upcoming season. It wouldn't shock me if it ends up being one more, just because of the untangling and the complications. But to play two extra seasons after that, I'd be very surprised. I got a story running a little while on Yahoo Sports where somebody told me, like, nope, they mean it this time. They're ready to dig in. But what's the Big 12 going to say? Nope, we're going to let them out. So, everybody's sort of posturing their case. But I'd be very surprised if in reality Oklahoma and Texas play four more seasons in the Big 12.
So beyond that, Pete, I mean, there are so many different moves. What is the next wave of this? Whether it's in the ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, what happens once this happens?
Well, I wrote a long analysis of this yesterday on Yahoo Call, and I had a lot of very smart people who've been in college sports for a very long time tell me they think this could be one of the most significant pivot points of this generation. One official compared it to the Supreme Court case in 84 that allowed the conferences to profit off their television and took the television monopoly away from the NCAA, which essentially ushered in this era, this boom era that we've all experienced for the past generation in college sports from the 80s to now. And I mean, there's so many ways to go, but the SEC has essentially created a super league, and there's a lot of pressure on different leagues to follow up, to compete. The ACC is trapped in what we'll politely call a pedestrian deal that's really cemented as a second tier deal for the next 15 years. I believe 2036 is the expiration on that. There had been a lot of pressure on the ACC to do something dynamic so it could blow up its TV contract and escape from under that deal. Texas was one of those options. That option's off the board. Notre Dame's future is secure because of the way the college football playoff is seemingly going to be planned out. So that doesn't leave a whole lot of appealing options for the ACC. So then there's the Big Ten, which all of a sudden now looks like Ohio State, Penn State, you know, some very good programs, but it's, you know, when you look at the quality top to middle, it's not near what the SEC is. Is there a pressure on Kevin Warren in the Big Ten to go make a dynamic seismic move? It would be fascinating. Now, the ACC's bad TV deal does essentially protect their programs through a grant of rights for, you know, the next 15 years. So in a way, while it's not going to be ideal financially, they'll essentially be getting half of what the SEC schools are getting. It's a little more than half, but it's clearly a second tier deal. They at least have legal protection from somebody going and poaching them. And then the Pac-12 is in a really interesting spot because it's the last one to the table in this round of TV deals. And when you start seeing money flooded into the into the SEC, which clearly there's going to be 100 plus million more annually, and there's already a lot annually going there. If ESPN consummates the 12-team playoff, as is expected to happen this fall, but it's not guaranteed, there's still a very high-stakes TV negotiation there. That's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars, if not a billion, that goes there. And it's a long way to say, Paul, like there's just, you know, there's limited finances from ESPN, which is important because the way we got to these just soaring, giant billion-dollar TV deals, and really the Pac-12 deal with Fox and ESPN about 11 years ago, was the first one that really brought in two entities to jack that price up. You need competition. You need two partners. And so it'd be interesting if ESPN is so all in on the SEC, and it has the ACC at a bargain rate, and then as a playoff, like, what is their interest of other, you know, in other leagues? Do they have the bandwidth to in the platform to show the games, the inventory to show the games? So the stakes, and they're going to probably end up saving money on the Big 12, because the Big 12 will likely recalibrate itself and invite in a handful of other programs, and it's sort of a similar food chain move that we saw the Big East do, which became the American when the ACC rated them. You take the best available, and you end up living on less. And so, but I really just think it cannot be overstated, the myriad ramifications, reverberations, and just the historic pivot point of this move, which hasn't even happened yet, and literally has the entire sport, from governor's offices to coaches' offices to athletic directors' offices, spinning on an entirely new axis.
One final question, because we are going really long here, but you mentioned the chess moves out there, and you would, for the Big Ten or the ACC, and you've taken, I think you've taken Notre Dame off the table, but what's the best possible move for Kevin Warren or Jim Phillips to answer his critics, and especially his presidents, that we have something to try to counter? It may not be as great, but it's still pretty good. I mean, is there a move out there for those two guys?
Well, Notre Dame is a move, and they're certainly out there. Notre Dame wants to be independent, Paul. We've seen this story and dance many times. The ACC perhaps the past few years had a window to maybe pin them down a little bit, and that didn't happen. So after Notre Dame, the problem with everyone else is after Notre Dame, there isn't anyone obvious out there. And I just think the next step is going to stretch paradigms. Does the ACC and the Pac-12 try to join together? And I wrote this yesterday on Yahoo. Essentially, the SEC is a super league. There had long been, the last 5 years, a separation between the SEC and Big Ten, financially and otherwise, and the rest of the leagues. There were almost two leagues that had separated themselves from the top, and those other leagues are now scrambling to catch up. And so, do they join forces in some way that's creative and really, like, is, again, a new archetype that we haven't seen, in order to give both coasts essentially inventory? And there's great schools and great brands in those places. So it's fascinating, but I think just the go make a move type thing is really tricky, especially with the ACC seemingly protected by this very, very lengthy grant of rights.
Pete, great stuff. I mean, we're so far away from the end of this, but we are past the beginning. Pete, great to have you on. Really appreciate it. I know you're busy with the stories, and we will watch it be published very quickly, and talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Paul, thanks for your time.
Wow, what a conversation there. I mean, that's as good as it gets in terms of what really is going on at this moment. We need a break. We still have Kurt Bowles in the final hour. A lot out there right now to digest, and we are back after this.